curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Soans, and I am on a call, a video call, actually, to record this podcast with Ron Kitchens. How are you doing today, Ron?
You know, as much as I want to say awesome, I am not really awesome. I am informed and optimistic. Well, I'm awesomely informed and optimistic.
Well, you found a way to get the awesome in there, but I think informed and optimistic is a better place to be than a lot of people are feeling right now. We are living in a time that nobody saw coming. And I think we want to spend some time on the podcast today to just explore a little bit of what we are informed on. And we have a lot of information about what is happening in terms of the stimulus package and related to COVID-19 and how to help small businesses, and certainly how to help boost local economies in this time in the best way that we know how. And things are changing rapidly, minute by minute. But we want to use this time together to just give the listening audience a little bit of insight into that information and optimism that you have, because you are really well informed. So I'm hoping that you can just start with what I know. There's a lot of questions, a lot of information out there for small businesses in terms of that federal stimulus package. Any words of advice to small business owners that are trying to navigate what to apply for, what they're eligible for, and where to find good information during this time?
Yeah, I think it's really easy to be overwhelmed right now. I was just making notes, and in my career, my life, what I remember, you know, I've been through, you know, gas shortages where, you know, neither you nor Faye, our producer who's on here, old enough to remember, you know, having to go buy gasoline to get in line, and you could only buy it on certain days. And there were weeks that went by that, you know, there was no gasoline and the company ground to a halt. You know, I paid 18% for a business loan to keep my business afloat because the economy was in shambles. You know, when I graduated from college, we were in an economic bust and you couldn't get a job. Unemployment was like 12 or 14%. You know, I've seen in recent times, you know, the dot-com bust. We saw the housing bust. We saw 9/11 and the economic collapse that took place of that. And just like a kidney stone, they all passed. And what we have to remember is this is going to pass too. The fundamentals of every one of those were different. The fundamentals of the gas lines, we were victims of the U.S. being vulnerable to foreign countries producing oil. And frankly, it took us 40 years and new technology to become energy independent. But we still see that the marketplace we're vulnerable to that. Last time I checked, which was, I don't know, Monday of this week or something, gas or oil was down to $20 a barrel. Well, I can tell you the oil industry in America is not profitable at less than $50 a barrel. And so that's all gotten lost in the COVID pandemic that we're feeling, but it's a real issue. And our friends in Texas are feeling it. Our friends in Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, the places that are using new technology to harvest oil and gas are feeling that. You know, when we look at all of those things and, you know, 9/11, we know that what happened, unless you were in New York City, you bounced back from it pretty fast because the fundamentals of the economy were still solid. You know, the other busts were because market fundamentals were wrong. But we're in a time that we're in a health crisis. This is the first one of these we've ever really experienced in our country. And so it's unplowed ground. It's unknown territory. And that leads us that fear becomes much more of an issue. that blame becomes much more of an issue, that human nature says, I need an enemy to fight. And our culture has been set up that we need enemies, whether it's Friday night football enemies, it's the town 5 miles away that are evil and incompetent, and we hate them, even though we work at the insurance agency with them and have for 20 years, and they're our best work friend. On Friday nights, they're evil, and we have to make them evil. And I will tell you, I still hate Willard, Missouri from Friday night football. I still, when you say that, I'm like, I'm angry, because that's because they were the ones that did us out and did us wrong. And we as Americans and as humans are taught that. It probably goes back fundamentally to the cavemen, that the people in the other cave were evil because they were competing for resources. But we're in a time without an enemy. And you know, one of the things the president has done well is keep saying COVID is a silent enemy. COVID is an invisible enemy. And we got to make that our enemy, not each other, not people, not scientists who say what we want. You know, I just read an article that frankly really bothered me, having to be written by a friend of mine in The Atlantic about, you know, evangelicals putting in a hospital in Central Park. And weren't they evil because they were proselytizing? And why would you mix Christianity and healthcare? And I wrote him back and said, you know, the church really invented hospitals. You know, there were no hospitals before the Catholic Church invented them. Our own community, you know, our two hospitals were our fundamental faith-based groups started those and still had huge impact. So, but I know this guy well, and I clearly saw a frustration of trying to label something to be against so that we feel less vulnerable. And that's human and normal, but it's not accurate. So what we have to do is say, we are going to come out of this. Now, I don't know when. I don't know if we have 4 more weeks or 8 more weeks or 12 more weeks. But it is impossible for my mind to believe that with all the great power of both capitalism and research and academia and research, that we aren't going to find the stopping point for this. And I think we're already seeing great things. I mean, who could imagine that the FDA would approve a test in less than a week? It just doesn't happen. And just we've been in funding and research, life science research, for 20 years now. And I've never seen anything happen that fast. So I believe we're going to get there. It's going to be painful and ugly getting there, but we're going to get there. So if we believe in those powers to do their work, then as business and community leaders, it's up to us to do our work. And what is that? One, for me, I'm just talking to the business leaders now, the church leaders, the organizational institution leaders, you got to keep your organization alive. So organizations are living beings that serve an important purpose in our community. They are there to fundamentally deliver on what we believe our promise is, and that the greatest force for change is a job. So that means you have to stay alive however you can do that. And I don't mean cheating. I don't mean doing bad things, but I mean taking advantage of programs. I've had a number of business friends who said, you know, I don't think I can take federal money. I'm just against this. Well, you know what? I can be against of feeling like you're taking a handout while I'm being for the people who work for me, while I'm being for making sure that lease payments and rent get paid, while I'm being for making sure that our people aren't on the dole and aren't going hungry, and know that even if we took care of them now and the stimulus package is taking care of people, incredible, once we get it all launched, but 6 months from now, there's not going to be extra unemployment money. There's not going to be this. All there's going to be is employers employing people to create the next of our economy. So it means you got to take those dollars today, even if it means holding your nose, even if it means going against, you know, this belief that government shouldn't be mixing in with business. It's not. It's mixing in with creating consumer confidence and creating consumer capacity so that they will be able to pay taxes and repay this money. It's not. Clearly, we're going to have a tax increase when this is all over because that's what's required. And I'm reminded of the story of World War II breaks out and Roosevelt and Churchill are trying to figure out what the U.S. responsibility is to Great Britain and how you stop the war. And if we don't stop the Great Britain, does Germany continue to expand and try to go to war against the U.S.? And Roosevelt tells the story that if your neighbor's house catches on fire and you've got a hose attached to your house that they can use to spray water on theirs to keep the fire from burning their house down, you don't ask, then as a neighbor, you don't say, well, if you buy the hose and the water from me in advance, then you can use the hose. What you do is you crank that valve open, you start spraying water on that fire, you get the water sprayed down, and then as the person's house is on fire, you come to them and say, hey, is your hose okay? And if your hose is okay, and you didn't lose any, you know, didn't catch on fire, you didn't get shorter, you go, okay, great, I don't owe you anything, but I owe you for the water, so let me pay you for that water that got used. Now, you may charitably say, oh, don't worry about it, but that's your choice. And we're in a time where we owe it to each other, crank our hoses on to save the houses around us, to save the people, to save jobs, to save institutions, to save our churches. You know, you and I are blessed that we've got deep relationships with a significant number of church leaders, not only the U.S., but all over Canada. And our friends are hurting. You know, they have staff, they have, you know, mortgages, they've got electric bills and have almost no revenue coming. So whatever you are in your faith journey, take time to make sure you're giving electronically to your church or electronically to that social service group that you would normally support, whether it's the Red Cross or Convoys of Hope or whoever. We've got to give now, even though fear tells us to hoard. We've got to give now. And I think that's critically important if we're going to ensure, because if our neighbor's house catches on fire, the odds are at very least it's going to melt the siding on your house. At the very least, it's going to damage your roof and melt the shingles. But really, you're probably going to get caught on fire too. And we've seen fire sweep across areas of our country. Metaphorically, we could see that sweep again just if people are hoarding or refusing to participate in the recovery. And we can't have either of those behaviors. Neither serve us as a society, neither one are good capitalist principles, and neither one match our faith that we espouse as leaders in our nation. Man, that was a really long answer that I don't think answered the question you asked at all.
We're gonna get there. I think it was worthy of what you said because it is exactly what is happening in a lot of good chunks of information that you said in there, I think will really resonate with the listening audience, especially that call to action. And I think that's a really important thing to call out, the fact that there are a lot of people in this country that, you know, unemployment has skyrocketed, but there are a lot of people in this country that are still employed. And we've heard from a lot of local employers and certainly even our team that, you know, we're still employed. We're now teachers and, you know, working full time, which is an interesting dynamic. But the thought of, you know, what are the services that you typically use in your community and how can you still support them? And for everybody, that's different. There are some people who they actively go to a gym and want to make sure that gym stays afloat during this time. Some people it's, you know, who is teaching your kids, you know, different things after school, their after school activities. Like my boys are really into baseball. Like I want that baseball facility to make it, you know, through this. So how do you support those organizations that have become the fabric of your community and your family's life during this time? And that's church, yes, but it's beyond that to the daycare centers where you send your kids, the sporting, you know, places that you say you take your kids. And I know many of those places are really struggling right now.
Yeah. For instance, you know, in the last 2 weeks, I love independent bookstores. I love hanging out in them. I love the smell of them. When I travel, I go to these same stores. They know me. And I've pre-bought now over 40 books. And so, you know, because a lot of these stores only make it off author events. So you get, you know, John Grisham to come in and sign books. And you can sell online, you know, 600 or 700 books that are going to make the difference of whether you have a good month or not. Well, a lot of these authors can't do that, but they will eventually sign the books. And so I've pre-bought books that aren't coming out till in some cases next year. And I've paid for them because I want these people to have some cash flow because I know their kids need to eat. I know their employees need to eat. I know there's, you know, rent to be paid. And I believe that, you know, in the end, I'm going to be happy and they're going to know that they are loved. You know, there's a bookstore in Ann Arbor that, you know, was struggling. And the patrons donated $100,000 to make sure that they're there tomorrow. Don't take institutions for granted in our community because there is a hidden enemy, and the hidden enemy is apathy. We can't allow ignorance or apathy to rule our day. If either of those two things rule our day, we are screwed. We will not come out of this being the place, the country, and I should say country because we have a ton of Canadian listeners and we love you, and we want to make sure that we come out of this with a quality of life that our children deserve and is reflective of the hard work that our public servants and our healthcare providers are doing right now to make sure that we are protected. We should honor them by making sure that we have a community and a place for them to come back to after they're in this occupational quarantine that a lot of them are in.
You know, one of the things that I know we wanted to talk about in this podcast is just the reality of where people are at, especially small business owners. And we've heard from so many in our community here in Southwest Michigan. And for every story here, there's stories in every community across the world in many cases. And what small business owners are saying is that it's really hard to navigate the stimulus package, especially if they're a small family-owned business. And what we know about people in crisis, which many of them are in, is that it's really hard in crisis to have the attention span to read and listen and comprehend all at the same time because your mind is going fight or flight and you're fighting off every thought that comes into your head, every what if, every fear. And so we've heard so many stories of businesses that try to read through the information of what they could apply for and just walk away thinking, I don't know what I have applied for. I don't know what I qualify for. I feel scared to apply for federal funding. I've never done it before. What advice do you have for small business owners out there? Is there a resource or a guide? I know the banks are extremely overloaded. What do you recommend that they do if they have questions about what to apply for and where to even find good information about the options for them?
So it is overwhelming and it seems dysfunctional. This morning, and I'm frankly not even sure what the date is right now. So the date is May 3rd or April 3rd. I'm sorry, it's April 3rd. And, you know, last night we were working with organizations, with businesses primarily, on their application for the PPP, which is Paycheck Protection Plan. And we went through all of these forms and we're filling them out and getting everything. And then this morning at 6:30, you know, I get a ping from a banker that said, hey, the form changed. You got to now switch to this form. And I'm not even sure. He said, I don't even know what's different about the form. I haven't had a chance, but I know that you all are working on this. And so it's changing. And my first reaction was to drop F-bombs in my closet and feel sorry for myself. And frankly, I wanted to cry because we had put so much work into this. And now it feels like we got to start over. Well, the reality is it was only a couple of changes. When we matched forms up and said, okay, the order is a little bit different. the wording is different. Actually, it got easier and better for the companies, but it would be really easy to just say, screw this, I quit. But I'm telling you, it's really important that you get good information. You know, I think what I'd like to do is maybe even go to a second podcast. So if we could do kind of a B version of this and talk through exactly what some of these programs are, but then talk through how amazing wherever you're at around the country. And I apologize, I don't know the Canadian system as well as I should on their reaction. But we'll talk about the U.S., where they people can go, and who the local leaders are that could be helping them. So if that works, we'll take a break and then come back. Bay is giving me the thumbs up, and come back and do a kind of B, side B of this. And for those of you that had 45 records at one point, you know what a side B is. Otherwise, nobody else does. So, but we'll see you in a minute.
If you don't have a side B in your history, then it's a to be continued. Dun, dun, dun. So we'll see you in a minute here, Ron.
See you in a minute.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.